Welcome, everybody, to episode 3 of season 1 of Fallout here on small screen couch yeah. Commentary.
I'm going to say this is a pretty big couch, my dude.
You know what, man? I got a little upset. Something fell behind the couch today. I moved it, and I mean, this couch has been on its last legs.
Yeah.
But it's like on its like last.
Just remove the legs, dude.
You know what? Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Not a
but bad you know idea. What? It would sit lower.
Well, I think, I don't think I'm going to be getting rid of it anytime soon just because furniture is hella expensive.
It's like a logo.
Well, yeah. But, so here's what I was going to say. If and when I do get a new couch, if we're still doing this podcast, we will have to have like a ceremony.
Oh, 100%.
Do we burn it?
I think we do a Hunter's funeral. Yeah, burn it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we should like.
That was another Supernatural reference for you, by the way.
You and your Supernatural. Yeah.
Oh, shoot a flaming arrow.
Yeah.
I'm so down.
Send it off with the two coins.
Yeah, unless somebody can like send us a flamethrower, I'm down with a super flaming arrow.
We live in the suburbs here. I don't think that last idea is going to be.
Where are we going to take it to burn it? There's some laws about burning stuff in your backyard nowadays.
You know what, man? My in-laws got a little bit of land.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There. I mean, I'm not against breaking the law. I mean, I would never break the law.
Of course not. Of course not. Anywho. Yeah. First things first, as always, what were you snacking on?
I had some Thai food.
Ooh.
Yeah.
From where?
A place called Three Sisters in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Dude, I heard they're really good.
Very good.
I'm not even a big fan of Thai food, but I kind of want to try it.
I'm not a big fan of Thai food, but I get it a little too often, probably.
Okay.
But right. It can be healthy. You know what I mean? Obviously, you can get some extra stuff
on it.
Would
you get pad thai?
No. So it's just like, it's almost like...
Pancit.
Think of like a Chipotle.
Okay.
And they do like little bowls and you can have like rice and you add all this like Thai stuff in.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
all right. All right. Nice. Nice. Yeah. Your boy was getting down on some kettle cook potato chips jalapeno flavor.
Mm. Jalapeno.
Yeah. I enjoy them. I enjoy them a lot. Although I really only enjoy the Aldi brand. Like I've gotten other brands of jalapeno chips, not nearly as good.
Dude. I think we say it a lot, but just shout out to Aldi's.
Yo, can we get a sponsorship, Aldi? We've probably shouted you out more than any business.
Probably. They're just amazing, man. Decent prices. Great. The food's delicious. You don't notice the difference from most of the brands. So.
99%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, by the way. And we won't go deep into it, but like you're always afraid of cheaper like meat, like chicken and stuff.
Yeah.
No. Not at Aldi's.
Totally good. Totally fine.
Moving on. We'll do a separate Aldi's podcast one day.
We should.
Yeah, just... About each item in their store.
I like it. I like it. So what was your rating for this episode?
Dude, this show is very consistent for me. I would give it like an 8.5.
I went 8.4.
Yeah.
Decent episode here. And oddly enough, talking about it and recommending it over and over, my wife has now started watching it.
Very nice.
And she is hooked. She's actually probably watching it right now as we're recording.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe episode 3?
Maybe
starting it right as we start the explanation and we explain it as, you know.
How wild would that be?
That'd be nuts.
Yeah.
I don't think I get my wife to watch it just because it is a little gory and she doesn't like gore.
Not into that? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was definitely a gory moment in this episode. A couple of them, for sure. So yeah, let's get into things. I think there's kind of three distinct arcs here in this episode. There's, you know, the vault dwellers and what's going on down there, which I'm not even sure we really saw much of them in the last episode.
Not too much.
Then we've got Lucy and the ghoul / Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Maximus, who was essentially on his own, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, I guess a companion,
yeah,
as it
yeah.
were.
What do you say we start off with the Vault Dwellers?
Let's go with the Vault Dwellers.
So, you know, obviously the first episode was very much heavily focused on the Vault Dwellers. And they're kind of rebuilding a little bit here. The Vault Dwellers are trying to figure out a couple of things. They're at a moral conundrum. So
yeah.
Norm, Lucy's brother, he's not... feeling so great about life right now. He gets demoted, or they try to demote him here.
Yeah, which I kind of love. They say like you're not good or happy with any job you're at.
Yeah, he's lacking enthusiasm.
Yeah,
I think they said.
And he goes, what he pretty much said, it is a bit of a conundrum. You know, like where do you put somebody who doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think they said, you know, he's worked pretty much every job that someone at his level could work. And then they assign him to essentially a new job.
Yeah.
So the Raiders that came in from Vault 32, not all of them are dead. They've actually imprisoned some of them. I think 16 of them, maybe, to be exact. Somewhere in the teens.
Yeah, and they put them in, like, quarters, I guess, that wasn't being used, or maybe because so many people died.
I think they said it was their spare reading room.
It might have been, like, yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But obviously, these vaults, the people that were living there all were, you know, living in peace and harmony and whatever. So they didn't have, like, a prison or cells or anything like that. They don't really know how to deal with the situation that they have. And so now Norm is kind of on prison duty, bringing them food.
He brings them food, yeah.
Yeah.
Which,
and they're still in there kind of just acting like savages.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they'll ever change.
No, no.
The Vault Dwellers seem to think they might.
Yeah. So the Vault Dwellers, they kind of have a meeting of the minds with everyone in the vault who survived, which it's not a lot of them, or at least in comparison to what used to be there.
Yeah.
And they're kind of trying to think, okay, well, what do we want to do here? Because we don't really want to keep these people imprisoned. And really, this could be our opportunity to kind of show the world that we're going to help everyone out. And so they're kind of looking at this out of instances like, well, if we can maybe rehabilitate these raiders.
We can rehabilitate people on the surface.
Right, right.
Yeah. And, man, I don't know. These people are oddly too kind. I get maybe taking prisoners and stuff, but they are incredibly kind.
Well, they're kind to a fault where it's like they're basically very naive. And we can see that with Lucy, too.
Right.
On the surface.
Well, even in the second episode, Dr. Wiltzig said he knows what her vault, like, test is. Because he says to her, like, oh, you're from Vault 33.
Right.
And you practice doing the right thing and make sure, you know, pretty much follow the golden rule. And so that's how they act. Like, they, even though these people came in just straight up massacred everybody.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny, too, because the people that were interviewing Lucy in episode one, they're kind of all now sharing the title of overseer in Lucy's dad's absence.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them are trying to fight over it more so than the other. So it's the one lady, and I don't remember their names necessarily.
No, I forget as well.
But it's the one lady and then the two guys.
And the two guys, man, they're fighting over it, but they're being so polite to each other. It's the most awkward thing to watch.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
But they essentially say, well, we're going to take things to a vote with, you know, everybody to figure things out. And they're like, oh, well, you know, we can teach them Shakespeare. I can teach them, like, pre-calculus and all this stuff. And Norm, I think, like, either he says something or he, like, laughs.
Scoffs or yeah. something, yeah.
And they're like, hey, what do you have to say? And he's like, I think we should do to them what they were going to do to us. And that, like, shocks everybody.
Yeah, so why? I don't know. But he, if I put him into video game terms, his intelligence and awareness is higher than everybody.
For sure.
In that sure. vault. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because at that same time, the pregnant lady who got stabbed in the eye, she's now wearing an eye patch, you know, she's recovering. She kind of looks at Norm and kind of gives a, you know, just a face of like, oh, okay, I kind of agree with this guy.
Yeah.
But the, you know, people that are kind of overseeing everything now, they're kind of just like, oh, Norm didn't really mean that. And he's thinking to himself, yeah, I did.
But he says, he was like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, we shouldn't do mean yeah. things to them.
Plays it off. It off pretty well. Also, in the midst of this all, one of the workers there comes in and is like, hey, I need to talk to you guys in private. And he's like, it's about the water chip. And they're just like, well, what's going on? He's like, well, you know, normally with the previous overseer, this is something I would talk to them in private about. And they're like, well, he's not here.
Anything you say to us, you can say to everybody.
Yeah. So he says,
stupid decision.
Well, just flat out, like, not even thinking. He just goes, well, our water chip is destroyed and we only have enough water to count for 2 months of life down here. And that's not even counting for
the prisoners. Yeah.
So realistically, they've got significantly less.
Yeah. And then the two guys in charge are like, oh, never mind. Don't say anything else. And the guy just like, well, I fucking said so.
Well, and you know what, though? But like after that, like nobody really like panicked either.
No.
Like, water is one of the most...
It is the most essential thing for life.
Most essential thing for life.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, oh, man, only 2 months water. Oh, well, okay, we'll figure it out, I guess.
Yeah, so who? I don't know, man. These people don't seem like they can lead very well.
No, they are definitely not good leaders. I don't even know if I would say they're good followers either.
No, they're not.
But yeah. Also, I forgot to mention Lucy and I guess Norm's cousin as well. He was the one that like was kind of in love with Lucy.
He got demoted.
He got demoted as well. He is no longer on door duty.
Yeah.
He's in charge of the doors. Because remember, he was also the guy that was opening the door between the vaults 32 and 33.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing I wanted to note on as well is there's kind of a trifecta here between vaults 32, 33, and 31.
Yes.
Which I'm assuming is going to come into play later. The lady kind of interim overseer, she says that she had communicated with Vault 31 and that they're okay. They're intact, which... I'm thinking, you know, if you were communicating with Vault 32 with these raiders, what's to say that 31 isn't also full of raiders?
Full of How raiders? Would you even now? Know? You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that's going to come back into play later, but it's interesting that these three vaults were kind of connected, and you know we know if you've played the game, there's like 100 something vaults, and they each, you know, kind of had their own experiments going on.
Yeah, and I feel like this is the experiment. Whatever's going on, I don't know what's going on in 31 and 32.
Yeah.
But the connection between the three is the experiment.
Well, and I wonder, too, here, like, is the Raiders having gone and killed everybody in 32 part of the experiment, maybe?
Maybe.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
But in any case, yeah, Vault 33 and its inhabitants running out of water, imprisoning Raiders... And not really knowing where to go here.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen here. The Preggers Eye Lady, her and Norm kind of have a little moment.
Right after the meeting, and she's like, she's pretty much saying, I agree with you.
Yeah.
But they're not going to do that.
Well, she even says, too, like, she's like, you know, if your dad were here, he would do the right thing. Which, I don't know if that means he would have killed the raiders that they imprisoned. I don't know if it means he would have just, like, let them go or whatever. I wonder what Lucy's dad would have done if he was there.
We did notice he was a bit of a savage in the fight.
Yeah, in the fight, he murked that one dude.
With a shovel, yeah.
So maybe he would have killed
him. I think he would have. I honestly think, yeah, he would have done something or like made him go, we're just taking them back up to the surface and they're out of here.
Well, and that's, I think that was one of the suggestions in the meeting. And the, you know, guy with the neck brace who's interim overseer, he was like, well, we can't do that. They have intimate knowledge of our vault
That's
and our security.
True.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Which, right. I mean, I get that. I understand that. Because then it's like, okay, well, they, even if they don't go and immediately regroup and raid us, like, they could just get a lot more people and figure things out.
Yeah.
They got into Vault 33 or Vault 32. Somehow. They obviously got in our vault. So, you know, I don't think they could withstand another raid. Even if it's a small rating.
No, because they don't have a lot of people left.
Right.
Yeah. No, I understand. So, yeah, I guess prisoners are kill them. But, again, they're too nice to these prisoners.
Yeah, I don't know that they can rehabilitate them. I mean, they're throwing food on the walls. They're bouncing around like crazy people.
And they're going to use up the water you have left.
Oh, yeah.
So,
which we already know from the people on the service, like, you get clean water, you're drinking it.
Yeah.
So
we found that out. Yeah. You got to drink the whole bottle.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So 33 is in a bit of a weird spot, and I kind of like Norm right now. Like I said, he's
the only one that seems to have a level head on his shoulders.
Exactly. And he's going to be doing some digging. You can tell.
Well, I mean, he's the one who kind of found out about them in the first episode. He went over to Vault 32.
Yep.
When everyone was just like honky dory eating food and being all fat and sassy.
Yeah.
He went over and was like, this seems weird. I wonder here what's going to happen moving forward. I'm hoping that they figure something out with these prisoners, because I have a feeling that even though these prisoners are raiders and they're, you know, uncivilized or whatever, they're also not idiots.
No.
So if you don't figure something out to do with them, they're going to figure something out to do with you.
Yeah, they're just kind of buying their time, I think, the Raiders are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is it buying or biding?
B- biding
their time.
You know, but I mean, you know, you got bottle caps. You could buy some too, I guess.
Yeah, buy your time.
Yeah,
time is money.
So I think we move on then to the arc of Lucy and the Ghoul / Cooper.
Yeah.
At least for the majority of the rest of our time here, we talk about them. So last we saw Lucy, she was about to chop off Wilson's head off.
Yeah.
With that weird tool that he had.
The handheld chainsaw, man.
Yeah. And so she knows now, okay, well, I just have to get your head there. She doesn't know why he's so important or why it's just his head that needs to go. But she's, you know, kind of on her way through the wasteland. She's got her bag of goodies that she brought with her. I think at one point she had like deviled eggs.
She had deviled eggs in a cardboard box.
I'm not going to lie, man.
They look good.
You know, I mess with deviled eggs hard.
Big time. Big time.
If you asked me to eat 6 scrambled eggs, I would look at you like you're crazy.
But you asked me to eat 6 deviled eggs.
Oh my gosh. I'd tear them up.
I'd eat 12.
Yeah, at least. I don't know what changes them to a point where I'm like, I could consume a million of these, but
they're just so good.
Yeah.
There's different ways you can make them that are delicious,
true,
too.
True.
But she does. So I want to point here. At one point, she like walks over this like sand dune almost.
Yeah.
And you can see her destination. It's like a big city. Could be LA. But man, did this not feel like a video game that's open world when you have this huge view. And she's just standing up there looking like, well, that's my adventure ahead of me.
Yeah.
And I just like the way that I think we mentioned this in the first episode. The good video game shows aren't afraid to understand that they're a show based on a video game.
Agreed. I also think it's kind of cool, though, I mean, that you mention in video games, open world games these days, you know, you go out and you look and you see this big, vast open world where it's like, you know, that's always been a thing in video games and adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the cool thing is, you know, 20 or 30 years ago, if you would see that in a game, it's just a background.
Right.
Whereas now in most games, like you see something out there, you can actually go
to it. Yeah.
So yeah, I do like that. And I think they are doing a really good job of keeping the balance in this show of pleasing the fans of the video game, but then
still
also
doing their own thing.
Right. And making it where, if you're someone who's never watched the show, or I'm sorry, never played the video games, or aren't into video games, that it still appeals to you. I mean, my wife never really plays video games at all. Not super into sci-fi or action or anything like that. She's more of like a drama, and like if she's getting into anything, it's fantasy, like werewolves, vampires, that type of stuff. Witches, those are her favorites. But even this show is appealing to her. So I think they're really doing a good job of balancing, pleasing the fans of the video game and bringing in new fans as well.
Yeah, just telling a good story for a show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're painting this picture, like you said, Lucy's looking out into the wasteland, seeing where she needs to go. And she still, at this point, is in decent spirits.
Yeah. It's actually oddly in decent spirits. She just had to cut a guy's head off.
Yeah.
So after this scene, we get to a campsite for her, and she's like, that's when she eats the deviled eggs and everything, but she's looking at the head, the severed head.
Right.
And it's like all white now. The eyes are like gone, basically. And she's like, well, what's so important about you? And she's just flipping it around, not giving a shit.
Right. And then she kind of gets like zapped a little bit.
Yes.
And she's looking and she starts touching on the neck where this implant is, and obviously that's what's so important.
Yeah,
but we still don't know what it is or why Wiltzig even knows what it is or you know, whatever. But she sees it, you know, it's glowing, and she's like, okay, well, now I kind of see what's important here. And so she decides, well, I know I need to keep an eye on this. I know I need to not lose this. And she has like a little tracker
that connects to her Pip-Boy.
Yeah. And then she shoves it right up its nostril.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I would have put it up there.
Snug as a bug.
Yeah, you know.
Snug as, I think in the ear.
That's, I would say either in the ear or honestly, I would have shoved it up in the neck.
I mean, that's a big old hole now. I would put it up. You know what I would have done? Shoved it right here in the eye.
I mean, maybe.
But I think the ears, there's some tight holes in there, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But clearly now she can keep track of the head, which does come in handy later for her.
Yes.
But yeah, so Lucy, you know, she continues along her way. And at one point, she comes upon...
like a lake.
Yeah. And, you know, in most of the games, I don't think there are any times where there's bodies of water where it's not already, like, completely irradiated.
Yeah.
And so she's there. She's kind of just taking a break, you know, because she's been walking for God knows how long at this point.
And also trying to figure out, like, how am I getting across this to get to my point?
Right, right. And you start to hear, like, a little groaning, a little moaning.
Yeah, there's a little deer.
Yeah.
Too, in front of her.
Well, and yeah, she tries to feed the deer some little grass. And this, like, I don't know
this if is like this a
deer
baby is just, deer.
Like, domesticated. Normally, you see deer, and
they're off.
They notice you. Yeah, they bounce.
And they hear sounds pretty well, too. So
like, right, yeah. Right. But this deer's like, yeah, let me just come eat this grass out of your hand.
Yeah.
And then this moaning gets a little closer, and boom, that deer is gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
Fast.
Now, I'm trying to remember if I've ever seen... this monster.
I have not. I've not seen it in the game.
I don't think I have.
It has a name in the show. I can't remember it, but I would assume it's in the game somewhere.
Probably. But
it's a big old sea monster.
Yeah. It's almost like a big irradiated like salamander or newt or something.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So it snatches this baby deer, RIP baby deer.
Mm-hmm.
But then comes back for Lucy. And she manages to get away, but not before it grabs the head.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? If she's got this head and she knows this is important, I don't know why she didn't just shove it in her bag.
Yeah,
she had
I'm
it
not
separate
sure.
from the bag.
She's carrying like almost in like almost like as a like bandana a, wrapped around
you
it.
You know what it reminded me of? Those like old school, old timey like cartoons
with
where,
the
like,
homeless people have
yeah, with,
yeah.
Like, the knapsack on a stick.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. It's about the stick. Yeah.
Did she have it on a stick?
No, without the stick.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. So yeah, this monster grabs the head and she starts running, but I think she also then realizes, okay, like I can't get in this water. But she's kind of running along the shoreline and eventually it kind of just goes off into the water.
Yeah. And she's tracking it on her Pip-Boy, but she sees it's like way out there.
Yeah. Yeah. She knows she can't get to it, at least not easily. And, she gets a little surprise visit from someone else who's now caught up with her.
Right. So the ghoul catches up. So before we get to where he catches up with her, let's rewind a little bit.
Yes.
He does. He has the dog with him,
X-404.
CX-404.
Yeah.
And they find Wiltzig's body.
Yeah.
And he kind of realizes, okay, this is definitely Dr. Wiltzig. So he's like, does his cowboy thing. He's like, well, let's go find the rest of them.
Yeah.
And he's coughing really weird. And he takes almost like a inhaler with some of that drugs that seemed to be dripping into him while he was in the coffin.
Right.
And he takes a big hit of that, stops coughing. So they get ready to walk out of this big desert to go find the rest of them. And we get a little bit of flashback to before the bombs.
Yeah. So Cooper, as he was pre-bombs,
mm-hmm.
he was shooting part of his... I don't know if it was a TV show or a movie.
Looked like one of those old Western TV shows.
Yeah.
Like Rifleman.
And so he is there with someone who's an antagonist. And, you know, they're basically like begging for their lives. And he's saying to him, you know what? No. And he's struggling. He's pointing his gun at him. And he says to the director, he's like, do I have to kill him?
Yeah.
And so they cut. And he goes to the director and like, look, we're trying to go into a new, you know, a new direction with things here. We know you've been playing the good guy, but we need you to think about outside the box a bit here. And you got to be the good guy that's willing to do
the bad
thing.
Yeah. Like Billy Butcher, shout out to our other podcast where we do the boys.
Hey,
little plug, you like that?
I like that.
Yeah.
And Coop's not really on board with this necessarily.
No, he's not. And I can't remember. First of all, the scene was cool. I forget. He says something in Spanish. He's like, the Mexicans have a saying. And it's.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm trying to remember what it was, but I don't think it got translated like super accurately.
Yeah, but he's like, it means ugly something and something. He's like, you got 2 out of 3.
Ugly, strong, and brave, maybe, or something.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
But yeah, so I just want to mention that because it just is a funny line to me. It kind of gives you an idea where he picked up his cowboy-esque feel and vibe.
Well, yeah, and it's very typical of like what you would see in those old westerns from like the 60s and 70s and stuff.
50s, yeah.
But as they're breaking here, then you see him stroll over to another area where he's talking with this young lady who's caught his eye. And they're flirting a little bit.
Yeah, I love this scene because, you know, she's eating some kind of taffy. And he's like,
it's lavender taffy.
But he calls it, is it grape taffy, I think? And she's like,
yeah,
no, it's lavender. And he's like, well, that sounds terrible. And then,
which I have to 100% agree. I don't know if you've ever had like,
nothing tastes like, no, why would I?
So I've had lavender lemonade. I've had like another lavender type drink. I don't know if I've ever had any lavender candy, but everything I've had has lavender. I think I had like a salad dressing or something that was like lavender infused.
Ugh.
All of them awful.
That does
hated every
bad.
Single one of them.
Yeah, but she says it's actually not that bad, and she's flirty. It's like being touched for the first time, and they're kind of flirting back and forth. So he's like, "Well, let me have a try," and he eats it, and he hates it.
Oh, I would too.
But then what I love about the scene is so you got these two people. It's like, oh, this is the first time he meets his wife, and it turns out this isn't the first time they ever met. He's already married to her. They were just doing a little thing where they flirt as if they don't know each other. A little bit of role play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because then their daughter comes running over and they're talking and it's all. But they're a cute family. Like they're happy. Everything's really good for them. But they do mention they have something else they have to get to.
Yeah. There's a new costume or not a new costume, a new outfit that she wants him to put on.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to his trailer and he goes and puts it on. And when he comes out, it looks very much like something else. And I want to leave this part for the
we'll talk about at the end of the episode. I think that's a great idea, Alex.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Let's get back here now. The ghoul.
To 200 years. 200 and some years later.
He's caught up with Lucy, and he asks her, where's the head? And she plays it off and says, I don't know. I lost it. He bangs her up a little bit, smacks her with his gun.
Yeah.
Which could easily blow a hole right through her head.
Yeah.
No problem.
So he doesn't seem to want to kill her quite yet.
Yeah. And so he kind of surmises then that this beast in the water has taken the head.
Yeah.
And so then we see him that he strings her along, but he gets her chained up.
Yeah.
And she's like kind of right on the edge of a dock and there's an anchor around her and he drops her in the water just enough that like her face is in the water, but she can still kind of stand on the edge of the dock there. And she is struggling. I mean, it's kind
of not very bright of her to like scream and let go of all her air. She
right.
Has in her
right.
Body. But it looks like he's torturing her.
Yeah. He pulls her up and she's like, please, like torture is wrong. Like,
yeah.
Don't do this. And he's like, what are you talking about? He drops her back in and she's struggling in. He brings her back up and she's like, please stop, stop. And he's like, I'm not torturing you. And she's like, what are you doing then? And he goes on this little rant and he's like,
about how torture is bad and the people like, still do it.
They did this thing a long time ago called studies. And you couldn't read in the paper without, you know, hearing about one or another. And they basically found out that torture doesn't really do anything. You know, people aren't going to tell you what you want to know. I mean, he even says, like, hell, if somebody was torturing me, I wouldn't want to help them out, which so true. Like, I don't get why torture ever is something that people resort to.
Oh, well, I mean, you could easily just lie to somebody, but
right.
I guess, I
right.
don't know. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you got to tell them something. It's like torture of pulling off fingernails. Like, I'm telling you something that you want to hear if you're pulling off my fingernails.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the situation because it's like you said, like you could tell them anything. How would they know if it's the truth or not?
Yeah, until they find out later. You know what I mean? But
I mean, I guess maybe the fear of like them continuing to torture you would make you want to talk. But I don't know. I feel like if I'm in a situation where somebody's captured me and they're torturing me trying to get information, I'm pretty much resigning to the fact that I'm probably going to die. So at that point in my head, I'm just like, I'm just going to fuck with you till you kill me.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen anyway.
I'm going to win an Oscar. I'm going to tell you a story, bro. I'm going to tell you the lie, but you're going to believe that shit.
But yeah, he basically says, I'm not torturing you. I'm using you as bait.
Yeah.
Drops her back in the water. And
Lucy, which is funny because when you really look at it, then she does look like bait. She's tied to this rope that has the anchor, and the anchor looks like a hook.
Oh, yeah. It's like a fish hook. Yeah. Absolutely. He's going fishing for this monster.
Yep.
And sure enough, the monster comes around, and it bites right onto the anchor, just like a fish would on a fish hook.
Yeah.
And so Coop tries to kind of reel her in because he has like a crank.
Yeah.
Every time he was bringing her back up, he realizes, okay, well, I can't crank this anymore. I got something on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls Lucy up, and along with her comes this beast, and it's still trying to eat Lucy up on the dock here. Hook is stuck in its mouth, or the anchor is stuck in its mouth.
Yep.
And you see, like, inside,
dude,
all these little, like,
fingers.
And I didn't realize at first they were fingers. I kind of just thought it was like, okay, that's some in its mouth
right.
that looks like fingers. But then when they get a little closer, you see it actually is fingers.
It has fingernails. They
right.
are fingers.
Right.
Yeah, it looks like just like some kind of fish. It doesn't have teeth, but still needs to like bring things in.
Yeah, so it uses these fingers to pull in.
Yeah, they're like doing that.
It's, right.
It just,
right.
It was so gross to see that.
It was.
I did not like that one bit. First of all, you're dying and you're getting tickled at the same time. Like, that's just not a way to go.
But yeah, it starts to get her in its mouth. It's her, Lucy's foot is in its mouth. Cooper's there trying to stab it with some like, some big, like hook thing or whatever on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just pissing off this animal even more.
Yeah, it's not helping.
Yeah, Lucy manages to get her foot out.
But loses her boot.
Yeah, and at one point this beast, it just smacks the ghoul. He's kind of just over on the side a little bit. And Lucy's there just like, I think she kind of manages to get free and back. She's still bound,
yeah.
by the way.
She grabs the ghoul's like satchel.
Yeah.
Starts hitting it with it to get her off her.
Right, right. And I think at one point she even gets it like in its mouth, but then it like kind of just drops or whatever, and it goes back into the water.
Yeah, it swims away.
Yeah.
But this is where the ghoul gets real pissed off.
Yeah, because he opens up his satchel. He realizes now the medicine that he was taking, the little vials or the bottles or whatever, they're destroyed.
Yeah, they're gone, and he's mad at Lucy for it. And it's like, well, one, she didn't do it on purpose. Like,
right.
But, yeah, so he ties her right back up, and it seems like he's going to use her as bait again.
Right, right. Now, here's the thing I want to ask you. This medicine that he was taking, it's obviously something he's been inhaling. When we first see him, it's probably what's in those IV bags that are down in the ground when he's buried. Is this what's been keeping him alive this whole time, you think?
That's what I would guess. It's funny because the thing looks like Jet from the game. Like, there's an injection.
Oh,
but
yeah.
From the game, I think, doesn't that just give you more, like...
I think it gives you, like, strength and speed, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
But he definitely uses an inhaler that looks like it's from the game, which is cool. But I agree. I think it's something that keeps him from going feral as a ghoul.
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
Yeah.
Could be. So, yeah, it's either what's keeping him alive or keeping him from, like, turning
into a
mindless, you know, monster here.
Yeah.
But I'm still waiting. I'm hoping we get, you know, some information on how he's stayed alive this whole time, this couple hundred years.
Oh yeah, we need that.
But yeah, so he's upset. He ties her up again. but then he's muttering to himself. He's like, you know, these monsters, they digest slow. You've got time.
You've got time. Yep.
And so they start walking off. And I'm wondering here, like, okay, well, even if you've got time, like,
what's your plan?
Right, right. Because if this head is in its stomach, you've got to find a way to get it up out of the water and kill it, you know, or you've got to go down there and get it.
Right.
Which, you know, I guess since he's kind of, you know, riddled with radiation, he could probably get in the water, no problem.
It wouldn't bug him one bit.
You know.
Yeah.
But I
do want to note here. So when they're having a conversation earlier about the torture and stuff, Lucy does bring up, like, what about the golden rule? Do unto others as you do to yourself, right? So my favorite thing here is, at the end of this whole part between Lucy and the ghoul, he obviously is leaving the main storyline about the head with her. And he goes, up here on the wasteland, we have a different golden rule.
Yeah.
It's like, thou shalt get distracted by bullshit all the time, which is a direct reference to the video game where you just go and do side missions so often because you just can't help it. But there's just something that takes you off to the side.
Yeah. Our settlement is in trouble.
Yeah. It's just weird stuff. So, fun fact, I've been playing Fallout New Vegas since I started watching this show. And I wanted to just know the storyline. I was like, I haven't done this one. I want to learn the storyline. I'll go straight through the story. No. Side missions all day. So it's just funny how, again, they do a great job of just tickling the fans of the game's fancy a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing a little fan service.
Yeah, which is nice and cool. And it's just like, it's cool to see even a side, quote unquote, side quest done so well in a show.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
So I think this would probably be a good
ending point
spot here to kind of go to Maximus now.
Yeah, I say let's finish off their story real quick with they're out in the desert traveling, the ghoul and Lucy.
Yeah, and they're walking along the desert, and Lucy is at the point now where...
She's dehydrated.
She's dehydrated, and she is no longer in decent spirits.
No.
I mean, up until this point, she went from being like on a 10 of being like, okie dokie, everything's great.
On an adventure.
To now, she's basically like, my life sucks and I hope I die soon. they're walking along and the ghoul, he is drinking some water from a very odd canteen.
Yeah.
Like, it's like very large, but then also very thin.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know why they did that. But she looks at him. She says, hey, please, can I have some water? And he just keeps drinking it along, and she's like, please, I'm so thirsty. And he gets to the end of it, and he, like, pours out the last little couple drops right on the floor.
What a dick. Yeah. What a dick. Yeah, he's funny. Can I also say, his little satchel thing's kind of cool. Like, it's weird that, like, he has this little, like, thing that goes over his shoulder that's, like, not, doesn't strap on at all.
Yeah.
He makes it look cool, I guess. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. He's
I guess so.
I'm a big fan of the ghoul. Might have a little crush on the coop.
I mean, he's a great character, and I also want to note the makeup is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm imagining he's probably spending...
Hours.
You know, yeah, many, many hours sitting in a chair getting this makeup done every day that they're shooting.
You got to think, so you're probably shooting most of the day, right?
Oh, that's probably
so what are you up at, like
12, 15-hour day easy.
So what are you up at, like 3 or 4 in the morning to get the makeup done?
Probably. I mean, that's, I guess, depending wild. On when they need to get shots, if it's daytime or nighttime shots or whatever. But, you know, I've seen lesser, makeup things, and people say behind the scenes, like, oh, well, this took like, you know, 4 or 5 hours.
This is incredible. So
this is probably like a 6 to 8 hour job, I'm assuming.
Can you imagine sitting in a chair? Like, people who do the makeup, that's a lot of work too, but they probably enjoy it. But could you imagine sitting in a chair for that long while people
are
just touching your face?
No way. I'd get bored.
Yeah. Way to go, Walton Goggins. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Yeah.
So he pours out the water and she's not happy. They keep walking along here. And then Lucy looks up and sees a big billboard. And it is a Vault-Tec billboard.
Yeah, with Vault Boy on it.
Yeah. It's giving the old thumbs up. And as Lucy looks up, then all of a sudden, boom. Vault Boy's head gets blown off, and the ghoul is standing there, and he shoots the billboard.
Yeah, wasting his ammo.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to do that.
Yeah, you'll find more when you loot.
You do, you do. But then we get another flashback to Coop, you know, pre-bombing, and he comes out of his trailer with his new outfit that his wife wanted him to put on. And he looks exactly like Vault Boy.
Yeah.
He's got the blue and the gold. And you see him walk over to, like, another area of the set of the studio that he's at. And we find out here then Vault-Tec is basically shooting a promo. And he is their new spokesperson. And his wife somehow is involved with Vault-Tec. They've got a bunch of people there. And they're taking pictures. He's in front of a big Vault-Tec sign. And he even says to them at one point, he says, hey, you know what? I really want to thank you guys. You're doing God's work, you know, with everything that you do. and everything that you're helping us out with here. And it's weird because, like, the people that are shooting, they're kind of being really mysterious.
Right, but they're also big fans of Coop as well. Like, so they're trying to keep something kind of secretive almost, but they're also, like, super into Coop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a weird dynamic at this point. But, yeah, it's funny to see him walk on the set. So he's real kind to them, you know, and say, hey, you're doing the Lord's work, all this stuff. And then they're just like, all right, let's start shooting.
Yeah, and, well, his wife kind of has this, like, worried look on her face a little bit, too. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah, I think here, like, is she works with them, right? That's
right.
So she's probably making sure this all goes. She needs this all to go well.
Well, and I'm this was the gears in my head started turning that she's there. She gets him involved because of his, you know, celebrity status or whatever. But in my head, I'm thinking, okay, and this is total just like theory crafting here. She's only with him because they need him for something for Vault-Tec.
Oh, really?
That's, I don't know why. I was spinning a yarn in my head.
I think they love each other.
I don't know.
I'm a sucker for love.
The look that she had on her face, it kind of just gave me some vibes like she's nefarious in some way.
It's nefarious. Yeah. That's a good word.
Yeah.
I love the word nefarious.
But yeah, they keep doing this photo shoot for Vault-Tec and Coop gives them the old thumbs up.
Yep.
He says, let me try this. And he gives a thumbs up, and they do a bunch of pictures like that. And it pretty much seems like
he's the
original Vault Boy.
We've got the origin of Vault Boy.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Yeah, it's funny because he's just like, can I try different poses? And they're like, yeah. He's like, how about the thumbs up? And they're like, do it. And he's just kind of, and it's like, oh, shoot, that's Vault Boy.
Yeah. So let's cut over to Maximus now.
Good old Maximus.
Maximus, as we know, was recruited in the last episode to be a squire for
Titus,
one of the Knights of the Brotherhood. And he's pretty much running the show now as he let Titus die.
Yep.
And stole his power armor.
He fought the ghoul last episode in it.
Yep. And he got bested by the ghoul who cut one of the lines in his suit, and he had to fly away and kind of crashed in a junkyard almost.
Yeah, he crashed not too far from the town they were in of Philly, but outside, you know, the outskirts of Philly.
So we pick up here, and he's out of the suit.
He hangs it up on one of those, like, if you would see it at like a car garage where they hold in, that's how they pull engines out. Yeah. He has it hanging up on one of those,
which you would see in like one of the games too. Like,
oh, all over the place.
They're all over the place.
Yeah.
But he's hoisted it up, and he's trying to work on it. He sees that, you know, okay, something's wrong here.
He finds the piece that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, which I don't know what piece that is necessarily.
I don't think it matters.
I guess not. Maybe. I just was thinking, okay, are they going to give us some more fan service? Like, are they going to see him take out, like, the power core or something
right,
like that?
Right,
yeah. But he finds this little piece that's, you know, clearly broken. And he goes back to Philly then. And he brings it to this little stand that this young lady's doing repairs at. And she's like, hey, I can fix it, but it's going to cost you 5 caps. And he takes his boot off. He's got 4 caps in there. He's like, will you do it for 4? And she's like, no. She's got this like weird robotic voice too.
Yeah.
So he notices then over across the way, there's a sign for dentist.
The barber and dentist we mentioned in the last episode. Yeah.
And the sign says, we buy teeth. So he goes over, sells. I don't know if they mention how many teeth he sells, but clearly he sold enough to get some more caps.
Yeah, I'm assuming one tooth, to be honest, but who knows?
I mean, I guess it depends on how many caps.
It's funny, though. He's talking, and it's you could tell he got a tooth pulled for sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Puts the caps down, and he says, I'll give you one more. I'll give you extra if you do it fast. And this girl literally just, boop, like, zaps it with something.
Yeah.
And she's like, fixed. Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gives her the cap. And he obviously feels like he got ripped off here, which he did.
100%.
Although, you know what they say, man? It's like you're not paying for the 2 seconds it took me to fix this. You're paying for the 20 years it took me to get this good to be able to fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you always find that with plumbers. It's like, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, it's $150 just to come out. They come out, they spend like 15 minutes fixing something, and
yeah,
they're done. It's like, all right, your total bill's $400.
What the hell? Yep.
But anyway, yeah, so he gets back to the power armor, And he's not alone.
No, there's people already picking at it. Some raiders.
They're stripping it down.
Yeah, for parts, I guess. Or maybe they're trying to get into it.
They're trying to either get into it, but they are like kind of, I think they at one point show one guy like rip something off of it. Which you don't, once you get some power armor, you don't leave it.
Yeah. Especially in an area like that where, you know, there's a bunch of raiders around.
Yeah. It's just, I think even in Fallout 4, like if you left power armor open, like NPCs can get in it.
Maybe.
I think they can.
I know in Fallout 76, other players could get into it.
Yeah. I had some power armor stolen from me in the hot second that.
Did you really? I wasn't there for that.
Well, I shouldn't even say it got stolen. I found some power armor. And then I was going to go get in it, and I'm like trying to figure out what button it is, and some dude just ran up behind me and went into it. I was like, whatever. Thankfully, I didn't have passives mode off, so it's not like he could hurt me with it. But anywho.
Oh, man. Yeah. Moving right along. That's a story for another time.
So, these guys are there, and
he feels like because he's in the Brotherhood of Steel, people are going to respect him.
Yeah.
So Maximus automatically goes, step away from the power suit.
Yeah,
and
these
all
guys
like,
look at him like, what the
who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
So a fight breaks out.
Yeah. And at first, you know, I was like, okay, Maximus, you're doing your thing.
Yeah.
Fair ones, you're holding your own okay. But eventually he gets overwhelmed.
Yeah, there's like five of them or so.
Gets the shit beat out of him. I mean, he gets clobbered.
Yeah, he actually gets like kind of knocked out for a little bit, probably about 30 feet away from where the power suit is.
Yeah. And these guys, I mean, there's four or five of them.
And one of them's huge. Hell out of them.
Yeah, the one guy, the huge guy, he was holding Maximus and like the kind of leader of the pack, so to speak. He punched him in the face like a good half dozen times.
Dude, yeah, that would hurt.
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I've gotten punched in the face a couple of times, but each time it happened, it was like one time I got hit and then it was like over. I could not imagine getting hit in the face like six times repeatedly.
No.
Bare knuckle.
No, thank you.
So yeah, Maximus is kind of out of it. He's on the floor and these guys are still trying to get into the armor and they manage to open it.
Yeah.
Now, after, Maximus comes to,
yeah,
he kind of has this like moment.
There's some inside of Maximus that he's a little crazy.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
He doesn't, even in like the first episode, remember, he doesn't quit on a fight. Like, keep beating me up all you want. I'm not stopping.
Right.
And he gets up, and a freaking Johnny Cash song plays. I can't remember which one.
Yeah.
But he gets up, he sees a lead pipe, and he's just like, fuck it, I'm coming back.
He grabs a lead pipe and a toilet, like
yes,
a toilet seat.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Which kind of reminds me of the first episode when he was real mad and he smashes the toilet seat.
Oh, I kind of forgot about that, actually.
Yeah. So he grabs that, and he starts walking towards him. And let me tell you what, he goes to town for a bit.
Yeah.
He's smacking people in the face as they come towards him. He's beating them up, pushing them back. They're getting their licks in, but he's like on a freaking rampage.
Yeah.
Until
he's not anymore.
Until the big guy gets to him again.
Yeah. And at this point, I'm like, okay, he's probably going to get the shit beat out of him again. And they are punching the crap out of him. But like I said, they managed to get the power armor open.
Yeah. And so they make the mistake.
Yeah, they push him up against the power armor. They're still pummeling him there, but then Maximus manages to get his hand into the arm of the power armor.
Yeah.
And goes and grabs the leader dude and just crushes his head.
Completely in. Like,
and I mean, like, they
smooth.
Show it happening, and like, I'm assuming this was partly practical effects, partly CGI, but it was pretty seamless.
Yeah.
And disgusting.
Yeah. It definitely looked real.
Yeah.
And like you said, it was seamless. He didn't like hit it and then like it was like a snap to a crunch. It was seriously just an easy squeeze for the power armor.
It was like crushing a grape.
Yeah.
And this guy's head just immediately goes to mush. The one dude, he basically, I think, didn't the one guy just like run away?
Oh, yeah.
Like after he crushed dude's head?
I would too.
Immediately. Immediately. Yeah.
But then, so Maximus, again, he figures it all out, survives the situation.
Yeah. Now, one thing I think we kind of forgot to mention, prior to him going into the town, the Brotherhood radios to him.
Yeah.
Say, you know, hey, Titus, you missed your
check-in.
And he's like, oh, I'm okay. And he's trying to, like, sound.
Yeah, he's like, we ran into a mutant. He's trying to sound like Titus in the armor.
Right, right. And they say, okay, well, how are you doing? He's like, oh, my squire died. He fell with honor, though. And they're like, okay, we don't give a shit. Do you need another squire? And he's like, no, no, I'm okay. And they're like, no, no, it's fine. We got tons of squires.
We're send them on your way. Yeah.
He's like, no, no, no. And he rips out the radio then and just smashes it.
Yeah.
Which total like childish move there. Like, okay, they still are gonna, you know, send somebody to you, obviously.
Yeah.
So yeah, after this fight, he gets in the armor and
the Brotherhood of Steel helicopter comes flying over top of Philly.
Right. Oh yes. He doesn't get in the armor quite yet. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So he
runs over to take a peek at what's going on, and they're dropping off a new squire.
Right.
Turns out it's the boy Thaddeus, who was one of the kids beating him up, but definitely like the one leading the charge and beating him up in the first episode.
Right. So he kind of panics a little bit, runs back to the armor and realizes, okay, I can't let him see that it's me in here, obviously.
So got to get in the armor.
Gets in the armor just in the nick of time as Thaddeus shows up again with this bag bigger than he is.
Way bigger.
And honestly, it kind of reminded me of like a giant like golf club bag.
Yeah, it does look like that.
Yeah.
You're right. But it's just like taller and wider than the people carrying it.
Right. So he's got, you know, supplies and guns and whatever. And he gets in the armor and Thaddeus goes and, you know, he's drinking the Kool-Aid too.
Yo, yeah. He has to do the same thing where he's got to suck up to, quote unquote, Titus.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm here to serve you and I'm honored to be, you know, here to by your side.
Yeah. And Maximus obviously doesn't like him. Right. So he's kind of treating him like shit. And Thaddeus is like, I'm sorry, did I do something wrong? Like, he's trying to really, like, just suck up to Maximus slash Titus. And he's like, no, it's fine. And they kind of move on. I do want to mention.
He does.
Oh, yeah. He pulls off the.
He tells him, he's like, clean this.
And throws,
and he throws him the crotch plate.
Just like
just like Titus did to him.
Yep. Which, so, he, yeah. And obviously, Maximus finds this is a moment where now, oh, I can boss this guy around.
Right.
Because he treated me like crap. The actor who plays Thaddeus, I don't know how much he's in, but he's in a show called Superstore, and he was phenomenal in that. He was hilarious.
Okay. Nice.
So if you get a chance to watch Superstore, just for him, it's worth it.
So yeah, they're now tracking the target as well.
Yeah, and so they do get to the satellite that the dead body's at of Dr. Wildzig.
Well, even before that, though.
Oh yeah, okay.
They're kind of going along, and Thaddeus and Maximus, they're talking, and they have just like some awkward interactions. That like at one point, Thaddeus is trying to fill in his
water tank.
His water tank, yeah. And now he has to like kind of open up the armor a little bit to do that. And Maximus like shrugs him off, and he's like, "What the hell do you think you're doing?" And he's like, "I'm trying to fill in your water tank. I'm sorry." And he's like, okay, whatever. It's fine. But they kind of have like a little bit of a heart-to-heart.
Right. Thaddeus actually seems sad, and he goes, what happened to your other squire?
Yeah. And he wants to know what happened to Maximus. He's assuming he's dead. And, you know, Maximus just tells him like, oh, you know, he died. Say something about him. And he basically says, you know, he was a good guy and whatever. And then Maximus, for whatever reason, says, "We'll say something negative about him." And he's like, "Well, he's dead. I don't know if I really want to do that."
That's kind of disrespectful, right?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But then he just says, "You know, well, we used to beat the crap out of him, you know, and we would just beat him up all the time." And he opens up and he says, "Actually, I used to get beat up all the time,
just like that." Yeah.
And it would just happen every day. I'd get, you know, the shit beat out of me. But then there was one point where a bunch of recruits came along, and I told them, well, why don't we just beat up on this new guy? And that new guy ended up being Maximus. And he says, honestly, I feel bad for having done it. And he says to him, he says, I just wish that he would have stayed alive long enough to beat someone else up.
Right, yeah. He's basically hoping, like, at some point, a new guy would come in and Maximus could be part of the group that beats up on everybody.
Right.
So it kind of understood, it gave Maximus, like, an idea of, like, how this guy thinks. Like, he also was a small recruit who got beat up. He didn't mean, and he felt bad about it. So they have a little heart-to-heart, and you kind of feel for Thaddeus a little bit.
A little bit. But you also kind of see that maybe Maximus doesn't hate him as much as he thought he did.
Yeah.
So then they get to the point where they see where Wiltzig's dead body is. And you know, Maximus and Thaddeus, they're talking and they're like, I wonder if this is him. And he pulls out the little like drawing yeah. that they had.
And he pretends to put it over the head.
Right. He's like, oh, yep. This is definitely him.
Definitely him.
So, you know, Maximus had told Thaddeus that there was a girl who had escaped with Wiltzig in the first place. And he says, oh, well, how did that happen? He says, oh, I had to fight a ghoul. And he's like, oh, well, I'm sure you made quick work of him. And he's like, no, I didn't. And he's like, what? You let the ghoul get away?
Yeah.
And so he's like, well, and, you know, Maximus, he's not an experienced knight.
No.
He's trying to play it off as he is, but he has no real excuse for why he let the ghoul get away. He doesn't want to tell Thaddeus. It wasn't that I let him get away. He kicked my ass.
Yeah, but then Thaddeus is like, oh, because he's chasing them down. We can track him with the radiation tracker. Yeah.
He's got some sort of tool that can, like, track his radiation signal, and he's like, Yeah, I did do that because of that. You're right. Yeah, exactly. yeah. So they start tracking the ghoul that way, and they're trekking through the desert. And now, mind you, at this point, the ghoul has Lucy. He already left the monster. They get then to the area where this dock was.
Yeah.
And they're tracking. They're in the water, and they're tracking this radiation signal. But then Thaddeus is realizing, okay, well, I don't know that we're tracking the ghoul anymore. It's some other abomination that's around here.
That's where they call things that are mutated from radiation abominations.
Yeah.
Because they called the bear that was in the cave an abomination. And then, yeah. Okay.
So then they see from afar this monster swimming towards them. And it's funny here because now Maximus, he says, okay, You've got to get out of the water. And mm-hmm. he essentially is telling Thaddeus to save himself. So the tables are kind of turned now.
Right.
Whereas he went from like a point where he was like, okay, well, I hate this guy, to now he's like, okay, I gotta do something to save him because he's helpless. And I think part of it is because he realized, you know, when he was in the cave with Titus was willing to just throw him away.
Right.
You know, like nothing.
It kind of seems like that's what squires are, right? They put themselves in harm's way first.
Right.
To keep the knight alive so the knight can fight.
Well, and Thaddeus even says, if you want me to lead the charge, I will.
Yeah.
And Maximus says, no, like, get on the shore.
And Thaddeus is a little shocked by that.
Yeah, and he says, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So Maximus tries shooting at this beast. Misses, like, every shot.
Dude, this guy... No aim.
None whatsoever. Also, super shallow clip on this handgun that he's
yeah.
got. I think it was only like 6 or 7 bullets.
Do you think he has no aim because of the armor? Because he shot that bear in the head.
I guess it probably is because of the armor. Yeah, he did shoot that bear pretty dead center in its brain.
Right in the right spot. But yet, he even in the fight with the ghoul... He has the gun out, and he's bobbling with it. Remember, he can't get a hold of it?
He's just not used to the power armor.
Yeah, it's got to be it.
Plus, also, these guns are huge.
Yeah.
So maybe there's just, like, a lot of recoil.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, yeah, this monster then comes up, and it springs up out of the water. And it's huge in comparison to Maximus, even in the power armor.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about to attack him, and all of a sudden, a shot rings out. Hits the monster, and we see then Thaddeus is on the shore with the power armor like rifle.
Yeah.
And now this monster is distracted, and it goes and is not focusing on Maximus anymore. It's pissed off at Thaddeus, so it goes to the shore to try and get him.
Thaddeus tries to run away, but he didn't get away.
No, does not get very far. Before you know it, this monster has caught him and is now trying to eat him.
Yeah.
Maximus is trying to get to him, running out of the water. He's like, I'm going to save you. And I think even at this point, when he starts yelling. He's like, fuck, 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 fuck.
Yeah,
just like Titus was coming out of the cave with the bear.
Oh, man.
But so he gets there, and Thaddeus is getting eaten alive by this monster.
He's like halfway down already.
Yeah, he's like waist deep in this monster's mouth full of fingers, which is disgusting again, by the way.
Yeah.
And... Maximus is trying to pull him out. He's trying to pull him out. And I'm thinking there, I'm like, man, if that's me, if this monster's trying to pull me this way and this power armor dude is pulling me this other way, that's got to hurt.
Right, with all those fingers grabbing onto you, pulling in with some strength.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, they I'm not exactly sure what happens there. It's kind of unclear.
Yeah. I guess he pulls them so hard that it pulls the insides of the monster out.
Right, right. And this monster kind of just throws up all over the both of them and regurgitates everything that's in its stomach. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff. There's like, I think like some dolls. We see Lucy's boot comes out, which, by the way, Maximus realizes it's Lucy's boot.
Yeah.
But it's just a bunch of stuff is in there. And then right behind them, they realize then, oh, wow, there's a head. And they go and pick it up. They realize it's Wiltzig's.
Yeah, because CX-404 is there.
Right. I forgot
about the whole thing. He's there. And he starts sniffing the head. So they're like, well, what's that head? And I think the meter is like beeping, the radiation meter or something. So they go. For some reason, they're like, we have to go. And they look at it. And they realize, oh, yeah, that's Wiltzig's head. And then they're just pumped.
Yeah, they start celebrating because they realize, okay, well, we're the team that found this. Because there's a few knights that are out there looking for
this. I think four or five, right?
Yeah, yeah. So they're thinking, okay, well, we're going to get the glory. Maximus is obviously thinking, well, if I'm the one who brings it back, they'll forgive me for letting Titus die and or kind of AKA killing him.
Mm-hmm.
And Thaddeus is thinking, well, I'm going to get some recognition too. Maybe I'll be like fast-tracked into being a knight or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much the episode here.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Exciting moments. I do really feel bad for Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is just going from this world of like everything is fine, everything is awesome.
Everything is okie-dokie.
Yeah, and now she's in this complete, you know, opposite end of the spectrum where her life is shit.
Yeah.
And she'd almost rather be dead than be going through what she's going through right now.
She almost got eaten by a monster. Now she's being dragged across a freaking wasteland without any water.
Right.
You know, with a guy who obviously is a dickhead and doesn't care about her at all. So, yeah, she's in a really bad spot. Everybody else is okay. The ghoul seems to be unhappy, but we kind of understand why.
You know what, though? I'd probably be unhappy if I was alive for 200-something years and, you know, just wasn't really doing much of my life other than
being in a coffin underground for a while. Yeah.
And Maximus and Titus, good on them. But I have a feeling like even if they were to bring something back like that, I don't think they would get as much glory as they think they're going to.
Right.
The Brotherhood seems very culty.
Yeah.
And very just kind of like weird. And I do want to say, It's almost like two sides of a coin with the cult-like nature of the Brotherhood, but then also the cult-like nature of the Vault Dwellers.
Yes.
It's almost like it's heads and tails,
mm-hmm.
you know, with both those groups, because the Vault Dwellers are very much drinking the Kool-Aid of, well, we're going to repopulate the world and we're going to show everyone how awesome we are. And it's almost kind of the same thing with the Brotherhood. They're like,
we're going to govern the world. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So there's some parallels and some comparisons there to be drawn for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, the show is very intriguing. I do enjoy it very much, a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Same. Yeah. You know, I think you always have a little worry about a show you're excited for. You're like, man, I'm excited, but that means, are they going to do this well?
Well,
especially based on a already like, you know, IP that's already out there.
Yeah, anytime you have some sort of adaptation of like a movie or a TV show or a movie that's coming from a game, I mean, we've talked about it already on this podcast, but they don't tend to do so well. They've gotten a lot better over the years here. And this one has not disappointed. And it's also, you know, reinvigorated a lot of the fan base that was already there. The amount of people that are going back and playing the Fallout games has seen a huge uptick.
Oh, yeah.
Fallout 4 is getting, like, an update, even though it's a, like, 7 or 8 year old game already.
Yeah.
There's new content, I think, being dropped for that. A lot of people are going back and just enjoying them, ourselves included.
Yep.
So, I'm very excited for this. I want to kind of get through the rest of the show, but I also don't, because even though we are getting a season 2, we have no idea how long that's going to be. It could be a year from now. It could be 2 years from now.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think that's the big thing with doing this podcast. We're enjoying these shows so far. But then, so like Avatar and this one, when we're done, we're going to be sad because we don't know how long until we get to do the next season.
Right, right. I guess that just means we got to find new shows to watch.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we are going to be announcing a new show that we're going to be watching that doesn't start for a few more weeks, but we're going to be announcing it. I think we might try and maybe do some teasers, kind of like we did with Fallout, to reveal what show that is. But what shows are you excited for moving forward here? Let us know on our socials. We've been interacting with a few of you here and there. And another milestone here I just want to announce that we announced in the second episode here of the Fallout podcast that we reached a huge milestone quicker than we did with any other show. And we passed another milestone here. Fallout is now our most popular podcast. So all of you who have been listening, thank you so much. Really appreciate the support. And let us know what you think. You know, we want to hear from you.
Yeah. Been having fun.
Absolutely. Been having a blast. We hope you have too. This episode will be out tomorrow morning. By the time you're hearing it, it'll be Friday.
Good day. Start the weekend with small screen couch commentary.
All righty, folks. All right. We'll see you next time.
Peace.